and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to another edition of New Retirement Radio. We have appropriate financial professionals in the studio to answer your questions today. From Prout Financial Design, starting with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be in. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, May 13th, 2021, and it's just fun being up on the fourth floor. We've mentioned that before. But the view today, just amazing, eh? Just such a pretty day. Such a gorgeous day.
Blue skies.
Blue skies looking at me. So we'll take this weather that we have coming along today, and it looks like over the weekend, approaching 7 days. And Heidi joins us today. Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have a ton to talk about today. We're going to talk about retirement savings plans for self-employeds. In essence, people who own their own business. How do we do this? What makes sense? How do we use the current tax laws to our maximum advantage, given that those tax laws may be changing? Now, we understand that current tax packages are being proposed. In this conversation, we will try to include all of those proposals. Heidi's going to cover that detail. I'm going to cover the fun stuff, okay? Why don't we just do it that way? And before we get going, one thank you before we get started to all the folks who have been coming in to see us. We certainly appreciate that. We love these conversations. We love hearing from you. We love the questions on the show, too. It keeps us grounded to what's going on out there, what you are concerned about. We certainly appreciate it. So first, non-IRA-based savings plans. First one is the 401k. 401k plans are mainly for employees of private sector companies. There is such a thing as a solo 401k. It's a 401k for business owners with self-employment income and no employees other than a spouse. The Thrift Savings Plan, or TSP, is a 401k plan for federal government workers and the military. So you've got two major ways to save there. And in most of these plans, unless you're talking the simple plan, you can save a significant sum of money. In the 401k plans, those sums can be up to $26,000 per year if you're age 50 and over. And your income is sufficient for such a contribution.
And that's for self-employed, or who is that apply to?
That can be for self-employed individuals if you have a solo 401k plan or a solo K plan. The salary deferral limits for 2021 are $19,500 is a maximum contribution you can make through the year, plus a catch-up contribution of $6,500, which equals class $26,000.
And what's a catch-up contribution, Dennis?
That's instead of mustard. Yep. You know, you say I want some ketchup too, as well as the tomato. Now, what a catch-up contribution. Sorry, I should be more serious when talking about money, shouldn't I, Dennis? Thank you. Well, so the catch-up contribution is a contribution that's allowed for those who are 50 and over. So if you're 50 or more in 2021, hold your breath, you can make a catch-up contribution, whether you're in a simple IRA or a 401k. That simply means that you can have more withheld from your income.
And it works for a traditional or Roth IRA as well. There's a catch-up
great
amount.
Great point. So there's a catch-up contribution allowed in an IRA. And how much is that, Heidi?
That's $1,000.
$1,000.
So you can go up to about $7,000 if you're over 50.
$7,000, yes. No, it's not about. Thank you.
It is $7,000.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry about that.
Somebody's got to be accurate around here. So $6,000 plus another $1,000 you can put aside. Well, think about this. If because we're not yet at May 17th, we have extended, our federal government has extended the tax deadline this year to May 17th. So theoretically, if you had not yet made an IRA contribution for last year between you and a spouse, given you're married, between the two of you, you see, you could put $14,000. You could also put another $14,000 in this year if you just had $28,000 burning a hole in your pocket and you said, we need to save. The market is down. It's time to buy. That's the first thing Ron said when we came in. Dennis, the market is down. Should I be buying? And what did I say? Nothing, because that's not really what he said.
You said, get my coffee.
Yes, exactly. Now, I actually had a conversation last evening with a gentleman I met at church. And just in passing, he said, Dennis, should I reallocate my retirement account, my Roth? He's a rather aggressive investor. He said, should I reallocate my Tesla and Apple and all that? I said, not at all. Don't do that. I said, take the old Dave Ramsey axiom. The money that you get at retirement within your own retirement account is not going to be from, I've listed them here so I wouldn't forget, it's not going to be as a result of interest or compounding or your investment selection or time. What's it the result of if it isn't of those four?
Putting the money in.
Thank you. The money that you put in. Heidi wins the prize. So the money that you put in is the primary source of what you're going to have at retirement. And honestly, in the conversation, it's just kind of disappointing. Well, I thought you were going to tell me something. What should I buy next? Should I buy gold, silver, you know, whatever it is? Well, no, that's not really the answer. The answer is, if you're still saving, to put money in on an ongoing basis, especially while the markets are down. And it doesn't jazz any of us up, does it? Well, Dennis, that's not very exciting. If you can put money in on a monthly basis, especially as the market's going up and down, and according to the government-required disclosure, if you invest through the cycle, as it's going down, and then, of course, as it's going up, well, can you guarantee that it's going to go up? The answer to that is no, I cannot. But as it does go up, assuming that is the case, obviously compliance is listening today, as they are every day. But given that's the case, that's the way that you win in this long-term savings game. It's not a super duper car, if you will, the Audi R1 or whatever that is, you know, that goes 200 miles an hour at the drop of a hat. That's not the super, can I say the word sexy on the radio?
It's, you just did.
Okay, thank you. So
I guess so.
It's not super sexy. In fact, sometimes it just doesn't get our jazz going, does it? By the way, we have a really good song for the break, and I'm kind of excited about that, as I mentioned jazz. But it's not really jazz, but it's a good song. And it's the slow and steady wins the race. The man who gathers money slowly over time does the best thing. It's kind of like that from Proverbs. It's a proverb generally written by Solomon. So he had some wealth in his day. In fact, the equivalent, just because you asked, was the equivalent of about $1 trillion in today's money. Trillion. So Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, all those guys, a very distant second to King Solomon. Just to put a fine point to it.
And their ex-wives.
Yes, that too. Well, King Solomon didn't bother with that. He just had so many that he didn't need an X. We won't go there. So next, then, is the 403B plan. This is for tax-exempt private employers. And the contribution limits, as well as the options, are going to be dependent on your employer, but traditionally not really for self-employed individuals. The next type of plan that makes the most sense for self-employed individuals, perhaps, may be a simple IRA, as we discussed. Now, the thing to remember about a simple IRA, it's for employers, even if you're self-employed, you have your own company, if you will, you're allowed to install a simple IRA plan. The only cost on an ongoing basis is going to be the 3% match that you need to make if your employees put away 3% of their compensation in the plan. So the costs are relatively minimal unless you have a lot of employees making those contributions. Obviously, that's something you need to gauge up front. Those contribution limits are $13,500 per individual, and there is also a $3,000 catch-up contribution for someone who is age 50 or older, which takes us to $16,500. Now, that does not include the 3% match from your employer, so you can be self-employed, and your employer is your company, if you will, and it makes a 3% match. So you could easily wind up to $20,000 per year in a plan like this, given your income, which includes the match that would be made to cover that. Yes, Heidi.
Right. And one thing to point out here is the availability of an extra higher contribution limit if you go with a simple plan. So you can do the traditional individual IRA. But the simple offers you that extra amount that you can contribute and thereby impact how much you have to claim as income in any given year. So by having that simple plan, and like Dennis said, you can even do it if there's just one of you. You're the owner and the only worker. You can still have a simple plan. But simple plans need to be set up by October 1st of the year, so you are no longer available for 2020, obviously, but you can set one up now for the year 2021.
That's right. And what's interesting about these SEP IRA plans, for someone who's self-employed, you can still open one for 2020, as Heidi kind of alluded to the current tax filing date, and if you've extended. So think about this. Well, we had a great year in 2020, but my accountant hasn't yet figured out what my taxes are. Well, we're a week out, basically, from filing the tax. It's May 17th. If your accountant simply says, well, I'm going to file an extension, you have until your extension date to make the contribution. So you get a deduction for on 2020 income for having made that a contribution to your own retirement account. That could make sense. So you're leveraging, in essence, time and using this year's contribution, which could occur in June, and still getting a deduction for way back there in 2020, which no one really wants to think about, right? 2020? Mm-hmm. Heidi, did you have something else you were thinking of adding? I just want to make sure. No?
Well, I just like to think of why you're talking about, you know, the accountant doing your taxes. I mean, when you're writing that check to the IRS, wouldn't it be great if you could write it to yourself? Yes, some of it may be taxable in the future, but at least you'll get some benefit from that money. So it's when you're going to write that check, think, wow, maybe I should open a retirement plan and put some of that away for myself.
Because the savings are dependent on your own tax bracket. So if you're in a 20% federal tax bracket, I'm just rounding here, and you put in $10,000, your federal tax that you're going to save is about $2,000. $2,000. Mm-hmm. Not bad for having the government incentivize your long-term savings. Pennies saved.
I just think it's a cruel joke to call anything in this arena simple.
Yeah, it is a cruel joke. Because the headline for this article, just because you mentioned it, Ron, from Ed Slott, employer plan comparison, no easy task.
Yes.
Sorting out company savings plans, tax rules.
Not simple,
but beneficial in the end. Given a bit of time in, we'll just say it, sharpening your pencil, really taking a look at this, having those conversations that you may not be comfortable with. Do I really want to sit with my financial advisor? Well, if it's Prout, well, definitely yes. Mm-hmm. But I get it, you know. These aren't always comfortable conversations. What am I supposed to do with that? You know, it's okay to not know. It's okay to be behind the eight ball sometimes. But in the end, those kinds of conversations hopefully will wind up benefiting you. How can I use this over the long term to really save? And then, the other question comes in. Well, I accumulate all these funds in my retirement account, and then they're all taxable in the end. That's not really any fun, is it? Especially if tax brackets go up. Well, we'll talk about that after the break. So we mentioned briefly just before the break in terms of, you know, I've accumulated all these dollars in these taxable accounts. One solution perhaps maybe, well, if you have other assets that are producing income, or you just plain don't need the income at that particular point. I'll just say it this way. There could be worse problems, okay? I have too much taxable income. Well, you'll complain at tax time. But just to put it perhaps in perspective, we anticipate tax brackets or tax rates are going to go up. But if you have to think through and make a decision because you have too much income, I honestly would much rather be there. Mm-hmm. And I'd much rather have that conversation with a client about what are our options rather than, we're going to have to scoot through this. This is going to be tight to make this work. Those conversations we do have. But it's much more fun to say, we've got too much income. What are we going to do? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So because perhaps we've saved too much, we have issues. That's a nice issue to have. It really is. It's much more. Ron raised his hand. Thank you. I'll raise my hand too. So a position of strength in the end is what we want to be doing. So one possibility, which a client did, he really didn't want the income. He was more than a 5% owner of his company. Well, that meant then that even though under normal circumstances he wouldn't have to take that distribution, his RMD, from his 401k, he still had to. Well, he was frustrated enough with that, and he didn't need the income. He decided to roll that account to his IRA so then he could use 100% of that income coming out of the IRA and give it to charity as a QCD. So you see, he pivoted given the reality of today's tax laws. And you might be surprised at the options that you have given the reality at that time. But at least you've saved those funds in a tax-deferred account that causes you to have to think through, all right, now that I've saved this much, I have a problem. Well, Houston, we have a problem there is much better being on the ground than in space, okay? We'll just put it that way.
So I had a brief question, and this might be too speculative, but when you mentioned you anticipate higher tax rates, mm-hmm. part of that could be capital gains doubling. If that happens, what traditionally would be the activity of people leading? Would people try to sell assets before that, or what impact might that have?
Well, the market is already telling us that it doesn't like that plan in the last 2 days, number one. Number two, the federal government always views, you know, they're looking at where the revenue is going to come from. And to me, it's like looking at a group of, you open up the cupboard door and it's still kind of dark and you know that there are bugs in there, beetles, whatever. Well, you turn on the light and they all scurry they head for the hills, if you will. And when you thought there were 50, there are two. Well, that's kind of what happens when the tax laws change. The government thinks that it has everyone, and everyone pivots. well, a majority perhaps pivot, and the taxes aren't nearly as significant, or the revenue is not nearly as great as they anticipated. A great example might be New York City. You know, they raised taxes significantly, and what happened? Everybody scurried for the hills. They're down in Florida or hither and yon. So people have the right to make those decisions. We still are in a free country. So given that freedom, the freedom to move, the freedom to change, the freedom to perhaps give more to charity, all those things allow us to pivot into the future. And believe me, people will do that. So the revenue stream has to be reasonable for the services provided. And as soon as the populace begins to believe that it's not reasonable, they'll take steps to avoid the tax. Now, tax avoidance is legal. Tax evasion is not, just to put, you know, keep that good.
That's right? A fine distinction.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Indeed. So Heidi is going to be talking about the new SECURE Act, the son of SECURE, or SECURE 2.0. Oh. Because we had the SECURE Act of 1-1 of 2020. Now we have the SECURE 2.0. And what are some of the provisions in this new legislation that is proposed, Heidi?
Okay, so this is legislation that is proposed. So this is not passed. But why we bring it to people's attention is because last week on May 5th, the House Ways and Means Committee unanimously passed the Securing a Strong Retirement Act of 2021. And it's we're calling it, you know, the SECURE Act 2.0 type thing. But the reason we bring this to people's attention, one, it was unanimously passed, which is unusual in today's standards, but it just means very little resistance. So this brings things to the people who watch these legislation proposals. It brings it to their attention because there's more probability that some of these could actually become law, some of these provisions. So Congress is proposing it to allow both simple and SEP. And those are two types of employer plans that Dennis just talked about, proposing that they allow a Roth option in there. In addition, plan catch-up contributions would be required to be made to Roth plan accounts. And plans could allow participants to have employer matching contributions made as Roth contributions. Now, some of this, we don't know exactly how it would work, but these are the types of things that they're thinking about.
So allowing more Roth options within these types of self-employed qualified plans could be huge. How they were going to account for this, that the Roth match like that, that's a little weird. We'll
that
see
was
what
a little
means.
Hazy. They didn't say how they were going to get it done.
Right.
But Congress likes Roth because they bring in immediate revenue instead of deferring and you paying taxes when you take the money out in the traditional option. That's why Congress likes the Roth. Some other changes that were included in this legislation is increasing the first year required minimum distribution age from 72 to 75. Now, we just got used to 72 because it used to be 70 and a half. So, but now they're thinking about pushing that off a little bit farther to age 75.
Darling, I just turned 72. I thought I got to take my RMD, and now I have to wait until 75. What will we do?
Then another provision would be regards that $1,000 catch-up contribution we talked about for those traditional IRAs. They're thinking about changing those each year with regards to inflation. So if inflation goes up, that may make that amount higher than $1,000. So that's another one.
Actually, these usually, I think, Ron, you've referenced this, usually the ACTS name, A-C-T-S, their names are usually exactly opposite of what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's a 180-degree difference, rather. But these actually are sensible. These are helpful. It doesn't mean that you have to wait to take money out of your IRA until you're 75. It just means that you can wait, and should you. All right.
Another idea they have is to increase the limit on catch-up contributions to 401ks and other plans for individuals at 62, 63, or 64. So maybe having a graduated catch-up contribution instead of just over the age of 50.
That's another great idea. That's an opportunity to save more money if you happen to have some change around in your pocket because the parking meter didn't cost you that much.
All right. Another one is to allow matching contributions for student loan payments that are made. So that's a little bit outside the realm, but right. Very interesting idea. Mm-hmm. They also are talking about reducing the penalty for a failure to take RMDs. And right now, Dennis, it's what?
50% of right. The amount not taken.
So they're considering lowering that to 25%.
Yeah. We used to joke in the class we taught years ago, it was 50% of your firstborn child, you know. It's expensive. But reducing it to 25% is, certainly a lot more reasonable. And lots of ways to get around that still.
Okay. A couple other. One is allowing penalty-free withdrawals from IRAs and retirement plans for individuals in cases of domestic abuse, which I think is a nice idea.
It is. You bet. I think all of those, I can understand why it's initially passed with flying colors. We'll see what happens on that. But all those provisions, in essence, make retirement accounts even more competitive and valid for accumulating funds into the future. You bet.
So another point, they're thinking of indexing the $100,000 QCD limit for inflation and allowing a once-in-a-lifetime QCD to split into a split interest entity. And that would include things like a charitable remainder unit trust, which isn't allowed right now.
Wow. Now, that's really cool because, in essence, you're allowed to fund a trust through that. And the benefits you get to see longer term. So you normally, any QCD period, you're giving the money, rather the funds immediately to charity in the year in which you've taken that QCD. Mm-hmm. In a charitable account, you could give it that over a number of years. Or some point in the future, which the charitable trust type accounts are going to be a huge growth industry because of rising tax rates. That's just going to be how it is. And as you mentioned, Ron, if they look at indexing capital gains or putting capital gains on an ongoing basis to where you buy a piece of real estate, you're minding your own business, if you will. You need that real estate. But yet you have to pay the capital gains on the growth as it accumulates. Everyone's going to be pivoting to try to figure out how to handle something like that. All right.
So just a reminder for everybody listening to this portion, this is proposals. And there's still a long road ahead before this proposal could become law. So this process can take a long time, and it's far from certain, but these are just some of the ideas that are being considered out there. So,
yeah. So these make it more competitive, better for savers, and keep your ear to the ground in terms of these proposals and what that could mean to your own plans and saving, whether it's monthly or semi-monthly, whatever that savings rate is. Heidi's going to do the stats today. Stats. Shay will be back next week. So it's called the Heidi Stats today. Go for it, Heidi.
Shay Stats by Heidi.
There you go.
All right. So let's start out with this one. The last seven times that the S&P 500 index recorded a negative total return result over a trailing 12-month period, the index bounced back each time with a positive gain of at least 15% total return over the next 12 months. The one-year average return for all seven comebacks is 27.6% total return. The most recent example was when the S&P 500 fell 7% total return for the 12 months ending March 31st of 2020, but bounced back with a 56.4% gain for the 12 months ending March 31st, 2021.
Oh, that's an interesting stat because we've talked about this. The April of 20 was the best month of all months in 30 years, April of 2020. All right.
So it gives us hope when the S&P goes down.
Yeah, it does, and it perspective, hopefully, too.
Okay, and that was from BTN Research. Our next one is, as of April 30th of 2020, our nation's jobless rate was 14.8%, with 23.1 million Americans out of work. As of April 30th of 2021, our jobless rate was 6.1%, with 9.8 million Americans out of work, and that's from the Department of Labor.
Interesting.
All right. From the end of 2020 through last Friday, which was May 7th of 2021, the price of West Texas Instrument West Texas Intermediate crude oil has increased 34% to $64.90 a barrel, while the average price of gasoline for a gallon of gasoline has increased 31% to $2.95 a gallon, and that's from NYMEX.
Don't be surprised to see gas between $4 and $5 by the end of this year.
Ouch.
Per gallon. Yep.
Remember when oil was way down, like way down there? There was a comedy meme going around, and it said, McDonald's Happy Meal, cheeseburger, Coke, fries, and barrel of oil.
$2.99.
There you go. $2.99. I bet the people on the East Coast wish that was still an offer, right?
Yeah, given that they're waiting in line right now, correct? Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to construction. 103,700 new single-family homes began construction in the United States in March of 2021. This is the highest monthly total reported nationwide since June of 2007, and that's from the Census Bureau.
Yeah, the home craze is amazing because it wasn't, 2 years ago? I was thinking about this morning, that they were lamenting that no one wanted a home anymore. Mm. All these people renting, that's what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. They're never going to buy. They like to rent. That's what these people do. That was kind of the, speaking of a meme, that was kind of the, if you will, the word on the street. And it's interesting how wrong those prognosticators were in terms of homes.
Okay. The pandemic stimulus payments to individuals and federal unemployment benefits made up 22% of the record-setting U.S. personal income total reported by the government for March of 2021. The same two categories made up just 3% of national personal income in January of 2020, immediately before the pandemic began, and that's from the Bureau of Economic Analysis.
Boy, that's a 700% increase, isn't it? It was 3% of personal income in January of 20, and now 22%. Yeah, seven times the amount.
I thought that was really interesting.
It is. I hadn't seen that stat before. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Right. I have one more here about banking. Through the first 4 months of 2021, no U.S. bank had failed and required a financial bailout from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC. There have been less than 10 banks that have failed in each of the last six calendar years from 2015 to 2020. 389 banks failed over the three-year period of 2009 to 2011, and that is from the FDIC.
Shows you how different times are today, obviously, and how negative things were in those days. All right, back to retirement accounts and what you might do, just to talk about some of the maximum contributions, which we didn't get to in the solo 401k plan. You can defer up to $57,000. The same is true with a SEP IRA if your income is sufficient. And that is $57,000 in 2020, plus a $6,000 catch-up for those who are 50 and older. So that would mean, in essence, $63,000 could be placed in a solo 401k, or 100% of earned income, whichever is less. So that contribution doesn't have to be limited to 20 to 30%. And if you have a smaller company that is a part of your income, but yet you want to defer most or all of that income, in essence, you could through potentially a solo 401k plan. Now, the problem with solo 401k plans is that you have to make certain that you take care of it administratively, that the 5,500 forms are filed, and that you actually have someone minding the store and the details with these types of plans, because they do require administrative fees and costs. What generally are those? They can range anywhere from $1,500 to $4,500 a year or so, depending on the type and complexity of the plan and what it does for you. Okay, that's the 401k and or defined contribution plan, as we'll call that. Now, lastly, is the defined benefit plan. And this is the heavyweight in the group. This plan allows significant deferrals for those with higher incomes and those perhaps with shorter time frames. Tends to be best for older individuals as they've seen their incomes rise and perhaps not quite so many deductions running around at the house. So a self-employed person with no employees who has a high income and wants to save a lot for retirement on an ongoing basis may make sense for something like this. And I say may especially because a defined benefit plan is not something to take lightly. You should generally have at least a 3 to 5 year time frame for a plan like this. But what it does, it allows you and or significant other key employees or significant others, we'll just say, within your company to save up to $200,000 to $300,000 per participant in a plan like that. So you can see you can put a lot away in a relatively short amount of time, saving significant taxes, because at those brackets, you may be saving 30 to 40% on average of the contribution. So a contribution or an investment, if you will, that has been made into your own account there at $200,000 may save you $60,000 just in tax for that. Given the other plans, smaller amounts generally need longer time frames. These kinds of plans are defined by their benefit back to you. That's how you're able to place that much each year into a plan like this. So this is, if you will, it's swinging for the fences, given baseball parlance, in terms of being able to save for retirement.
And Dennis, this is another type of plan that has a lot of administration with it. Isn't that correct?
The administrative burden is pretty significant on these. Forms to be filed, you will need a defined benefit administrator to take care of this, administer it for you. Generally, the costs are going to be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 per year to maintain this type of plan. This is where the actuaries get involved in figuring out how much you can place into these plans, making certain that you are legal with these plans. Well, what if I can't make a contribution this year? You don't generally want to say that when you have a defined benefit plan. Now, some types of plans do allow for some flexibility, but the opportunity to save significant amounts should generally only be considered for those businesses that are more mature in their lifetimes or life averages, if you will. So defined benefit plan, defined by the benefit that you're able to draw back out. You can still, in many cases, roll these direct to an IRA at retirement. But the key is you can draw guaranteed income from many of these plans, depending on the investments within as well. But significant tax savings, as well as, we'll just call it, huge catch-up contributions in these kinds of plans. So the bottom line on all these savings plans really is, what can you take advantage of? And it's amazing. They're continuing to expand these options for you. If you have any earned income, even if you don't, well, we're 75 years old. you might want to consider a Roth conversion. Each of these plans offer you to have options for yourselves in terms of now and into the future. And with that,
Remember, you can hear this program Saturday mornings in its entirety at 9 o'clock here on WTCM. Also, you can go to Prout Financial Design, and you can always call there with any questions. Thanks again, Mr. Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson.
Thank you, Ron. Sure appreciate it.